Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Why is childhood obesity so high in this country? There's a new report out that tells us one in five primary school children living in Ireland are either overweight or obese. This is a UNICEF study that's out this morning, and that figure rises to one in four children when you look at the DESH schools across the country. Sarah Keogh is with me here on Lunchtime Live today. Sarah's a dietitian. Are you surprised by that statistic, first of all, Sarah?
No, it's actually been, we see the HSE has studies on this and we have the National Children's Food Survey. So we actually know that this, and actually I'm going to sound very odd here and go, it's holding steady. So what's good about this study is it's not increasing, that it's holding steady, but it is still quite high. We are looking at one in five children are kind of struggling and living with overweight and obesity in Ireland. So that is something, in fairness, I have to say the government takes very seriously. We have the food reformulation roadmap is in operation at the moment, and they're really looking at the moment at children's foods and things like restaurants and hospitality. And the obesity strategy then, the submissions are going in for that at the moment for the next 10 years. So it is something the government is really looking at. But I have to say, I'm slightly reassured that the figures haven't gone up. It would be lovely to see them coming down. But that one in five, yeah, we know that one at that level for quite a while.
So we should take some reassurance from the fact that there isn't more obese primary school children starting school at 5 and 6 years of age.
That what we, yeah, you know, we'd obviously it'd be lovely to see those rates kind of coming down with it. But what we're seeing in a lot of other countries where obesity is climbing its level. So definitely we need to be doing things about it. But it's, as I said, it does reflect figures from 2, 3, even 5 years ago.
What's causing it?
Well, lots and lots of things with it. You're always going to have some people who will kind of struggle with overweight or obesity. Well, you know, on a very, very practical level, I mean, there's lots of reasons from an environmental point of view in sense of how active we are for walking to school, things like that. Like our activity levels for some people are really a lot lower than they were. And the big thing that I would see for an awful lot of kids at the moment is the snacking, you know, the constant eating. You know, years ago you had breakfast, lunch and dinner. These days, every time you turn around, kids are having sort of treat foods. And it's interesting that we talk about treat foods, you know, the nice things, biscuits and cakes and things like that. And they certainly don't need to be banned, but they should be like a couple of times a week rather than what we're seeing is 5 and 6 times a day for some children.
So it's not to be blaming the parents, but it is the parents need to look at what they're actually giving their food and how giving their children and how frequently they're giving them bits to nibble on or snack on each day.
And it is a little bit with that, and it's definitely not to blame parents because it's really gone into the culture where we're doing this all the time, where we never leave the house.
We all do it,
and all those kind of things. We all do it. I see it in adults. It's the same issue in adults. And, you know, if an adult is having a snack and the kid is there, you're going to give them a bit of it. You know, there's all that constant snacking, which didn't exist sort of 20, 30 years ago. You know, people rarely snacked in between meals in most families. It was an unusual thing. Whereas now, and what I'd even see is where people are giving kids healthy snacks. Now, smaller children, your 2, 3 year olds, they definitely do need their snacks because it's hard for their little tummies to get all of their food. But as you get a little bit older, you know, I think particularly in Ireland, we're always worried kids are going to go hungry. You know, so we better give them something now in case they're hungry later and things like that. And that's one of the things. And the other thing I tend to see a little bit is portion sizes at meals can be a little bit too large as well, that we've a tendency to give a 5-year-old the same dinner you're given to one of the parents. And we have a culture of clearing the plate and things like that. So just, you know, Safe Food has done some great work around portion sizes for children as well. That's definitely worth looking at on their website. You know,
should it be, Sarah? You know, in terms we talk
so
about.
So if you have an adult kind of dinner, a 5-year-old's dinner should be half the size.
Half the size of the adult's dinner.
Okay. Yeah, and not a giant adult dinner, like a normal size adult dinner.
Yeah.
You know? Like a lot less than you think for kids. I know when I've kind of worked with this in the past and you're kind of chatting to parents about portion sizes, you know, sometimes you get the parent going, oh, you know, they're a great eater, they eat the same dinner I do. And you're like, okay, then let's not do that. You know, because we do have this perception if they're a great eater, it's good, which it is, because if you have a difficult eater, you know, that's a big problem. You know, but we're looking at things like, you know, smaller kids definitely need and much smaller portions than you think. And that's the thing that often surprises parents. The correct portion for kids are usually a lot smaller than they think. Even if you're giving them lovely, healthy food, might not necessarily run over. Yeah.
Stay with me, sir, if you don't mind, just for a few moments. I just want to bring John Sharpson in. John's a teacher, I know, known as Moonshore John as well. Are you seeing this in the classroom, John? You know, because by the UNICEF figures that we're talking about today, when you take an average size classroom across the country, like that's probably 5 or 6 children that are struggling with obesity.
Yeah, and I mean, For me personally, because I'm subbing in different schools at the minute, it's hard to pinpoint whether, you know, whether classes are getting larger, in inverted commas, or the children are getting larger. But you do see it. I mean, you can see children whose eating habits wouldn't be great. And I remember one child in particular came in with leftover takeaway. It was pizza and chips still in a kind of a snack box holder from the night before, smothered in mayonnaise, stone cold, and that was lunch. And this was in a school where there was a healthy eating policy, but it was just, it just wasn't adhered to by these particular parents. And I know we can't blame parents and we say, oh, it's not, it's, you know, it's, it, we can't say it's the parents' fault, but it's up to the parents to decide what their child is eating more so. And yeah, I just think it's the first generation of children that have to have organised playtime outside of school, which is, it's very sad, because when we finished school, when we were children, and you finished your dinner or you finished your homework, you were outside.
Yeah, that was the whole day was spent outside.
Exactly. You were just outside, rain or shine, you know. And if it was raining, you'd find somewhere sheltered in the playground and you'd run around and you'd be messing with your friends and all. But you would be on your feet, you're moving, you're outside. Whereas this generation now have organised playtime. And it just means that you have to make an effort to be physically active, rather than being physically active and making an effort to do something else, if you know what I mean.
And yet, a lot of my friends are actually teachers. So I hear a lot of this kind of indirectly, John, from them when I meet them. And they talk about the fact that, I mean, snacks are nearly banned in all of the schools. And all of the schools have these healthy eating policies and different plans and programmes. And you know, like, so it's not like the schools aren't making an effort in this.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And even, you know, snacks, whether they're good or bad, you can't have a blanket ban on snacks, because it's like, it's carrot sticks or it's lettuce and cucumber. Is that not a snack? And yes, it is, of course. But I think parents can be duped as well. Like, there's there are some sweets that are posing as healthy snacks kind of thing, and there are, you know, fruit winders and stuff like that, and there's no more a bit of fruit in it. It's just a foot long sweet, essentially, that's wrapped up and put in a nice package, and parents think, oh well, it's a fruit thing, so that should be absolutely fine. So, like, snacks is such a broad term, because like that, you have carrot sticks and cucumber, or you have a little Snickers and some biscuits or whatever it is. Like,
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. We're talking about childhood obesity and why it's so high in Ireland at the moment. Derek Flood is with me on the line today. Derek's a gym owner of, or gym manager I should say, of Hot Hit Cardio, because you've recently set up classes for children, Derek.
Yeah, we did indeed. We've been into actually a local school within our area, which is St. Paul's CBS in North Brunswick Street, and we've done a nutritional talk with them, and we spoke to teachers face to face, and we are kind of on the ground figuring out what we can do to help. And we've set up classes within our facility to try and tackle the lack of movement within young teens and even younger children, to be honest.
So what are you doing with them?
So we would do, which would be kind of known as a high rock style workout.
Right.
We break our classes down. We break our classes down into different segments. So the younger children, we have kids from like 6 to 16. So obviously categories would change. We have some children within the gym that wouldn't necessarily be like at a competitive level. So they'd just be learning how to move, getting the fundamentals of movements, and just moving and learning. And then we'd have some people within our gym, or some members or clients that would be at competitive level and they want to achieve certain goals and things like that. So there'll be definitely two separate groups within our facility.
Yeah, but I presume so it's all weight appropriate, though. The weight, you know, there's no weights for the kids and stuff.
No. So the younger children would be all kind of mastering body weight movements before they can progress on, obviously. And then the older children then would be tested with small bits of resistance training then as well, you know.
Yeah, and how's it going down with the kids? Are they enjoying it?
They love it. Like we're probably up to 60 children at the moment. It's really good. Obviously, Hyrox is very, very popular within adults and stuff like that. But we're trying to bring it popular to the children and just help them understand whether that's nutrition side of things or whether that's the training side of things, that there's an environment for everybody, and we try and make it as fun as possible as well, you know.
Yeah. Sarah, I know this maybe not in your remit, but you might be aware, I mean, looking at the kind of maybe calories and the amount of food that young children consume now on a daily basis, is there any recommended amount of physical activity that they should then be undertaking?
We know that children need at least 60 minutes of heavy breathing exercise a day. But so that's a full hour. So they might get some of that in school if they're running around the schoolyard. But a lot of kids, when they come home, there just isn't that opportunity with it. And I think that's one of the big gaps. And as I think Sir John was saying there, it's like, organize, you know, this organized play, as I said, where kids were, you know, years ago, kids were out just running around. And it is that lack of day-to-day physical activity. It isn't even just that they have to be, you know, in managed sports and things like that, which are fantastic, you know, kind of the GAA and everything are brilliant. But kids just, as you said, walking around, running around, you know, that kind of thing, just constantly moving. Whereas they're doing a lot more sitting at home, and obviously screens are kind of part of the issue and things like that as well. So, I mean, regardless even of calories, kids need to be doing 60 minutes of exercise. And that's actually about muscle building and bone building as well. It's actually about telling the body, you know, to build these stronger muscles and bones and to get involved in growth. So that exercise is just really, really crucial. And it's not even to be burning calories. It's actually for just general physical development for kids.
Yeah, and like 60 minutes is a lot. You know, if you put in maybe a half an hour at lunch or 15-minute break time, assuming that you're moving
we
for that period.
We think it's a lot because we think, oh, well, you know, an hour's exercise as an adult, but we benefit from really quite a lot of exercise. So, you know, really 60 minutes is the absolute minimum for kids.
Aisling is with us as well on the line, Sarah, today. Aisling owns Nash, I should say, apologies. Aisling's a mum of three, head networking leader at Mums in Business International. Why do you think childhood obesity is so high here, Aisling?
Oh, I agree with some of the points made by all of the callers so far. You know, there's lots of factors in play here. It's a holistic thing as a society that we need to look at many, many elements. You know, I agree around the meals and hospitality. If we go for a meal somewhere, I operate my household on a lower tax living model. I've literally written a book about it. What switches, ditches and additions can you make in your life to reduce the amount of toxicity in it? And we look at that from our food to how we spend our time, what we look at, what we eat, what we read. And it all adds up. So when we go out or away on holidays, it is very frustrating to go into hospitality and the only things on the menu for your on the children's meal are, I don't know, chicken nuggets and chips or pizza or sausage and chips. Because so much of what is offered and advertised and marketed at children, not the parents, is this bright, colourful stuff. It's fun, it's characterised, and they're ultra-processed foods. And hidden in those ultra-processed foods are ingredients that our bodies don't actually need, like, know what to do with. Our body doesn't know what to do. So it ends up getting stored as fat, like we can't detox it properly, and especially our children's bodies, like. And they're growing so fast as well. And I agree. I also see the constant eating. I agree with Muntor John and yourselves saying that, you know, schools are trying and they have these healthy eating policies, but the schools are also stuck because if a parent decides to send in a particular snack, my kids talk about it all the time. They're like, but sounds like, Mammy, isn't only treat day on a Friday? And but so-and-so today had a chocolate cookie or two muffins at break time. That's not right.
I'm just going to cut across, Yashin, because I'm just going to try to reconnect with your line there, if you can hang on for a moment. Kigo was with me on the line today. You're a parent. How difficult is it, Kigo, to find the healthy snacks, you know, for kids?
You know yourself, it is, happy Wednesday, by the way.
Thanks.
You know yourself, it is very difficult because after a long work day with, you know, a job you don't want, two parents working, paying bills, unfortunately, the easy option is sometimes the quickest and best one for between the years on any given day. But it's a big circle. Like, school have to change. We all have to evolve. Like, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, we were let loose in the street, climbing trees. And listen, apologies to my neighbours in the 80s, by the way. Just we terrorised them. But we worked off. We snacked all the time. We ate sweets, raw sugar, and ran it off all day. It's a very different world now. So schools need more PE, number one. You know, parents need to, I don't want to guilt the parents, I am a parent, a guilty parent, but it's like, you know, we've just got to take a couple of seconds and figure out, can we avoid fast food, even though it is tasty, you know, because we're having too much of it. It's not necessarily the amount of food, it's the bad quality food, as your previous caller said, but like, something has to change in life in general, because parents are under so much pressure, you know, sometimes just for a bit of peace and quiet, throw on the Nintendo, throw on the Netflix, let's go just eat. You know, it's terrible decisions, but it's just for that moment of peace that we all need.
Yeah, it's a bit of convenience. You know, parents have busy lives as well, and there's probably commutes involved between school and work and back home and activities and everything in between. And I mean, it's easy to see how it's so much handier to reach for a kind of a healthy snack option. Just on that, Aisling, can I put Jonathan's text to you if you don't mind? He's got in touch. He's one of a few, actually, who's got in touch to say, you know, I don't get this you can't blame the parents nonsense. Of course parents are responsible for what their children eat.
Yes, they are, because ultimately, I mean, we're deciding, right? But I guess it comes down to, so when it comes around to treats and treats, what we call treats or what society calls treats, I've had a very in-depth conversation with my children, and we actually don't call them, but that's a choice of mine, because I've made the conscious like the choice that actually I want to educate my children and show them that there is a better way, and this is, you know, this is how we're going to eat, and this is what we're going to do to look after ourselves. And we actually call them cheats now, and it, and I make sure that they understand it's totally fine for us to have occasional cheats. But a treat, the word itself, treat, suggests that it's something really positive and good. But actually, it's something that tastes great and we enjoy it in the moment, but it's not necessarily good for us long term. And it's not something that we should have every single day.
Another way to do it. And maybe just finally, Sarah, for people tuned in today, because I'm conscious a lot of our listeners are maybe having their lunch or they're about to consume their lunch at this time of the day. But if you wanted to get more information about kind of good, healthy snacks or ideas or suggestions or inspiration, where would you direct listeners to?
John, there's a couple of good places to go. Safefood.eu have brilliant information on their website about children's lunchboxes, and I've written some of that information for them. I would have a look as well. I know the HSE, people tend to kind of roll their eyes a bit, go with the government, but actually they have some good stuff, especially about younger children. And what's really lovely is they have brilliant stuff about weaning and young children and food up to sort of 3-4, because you're trying to really establish those healthy eating habits and those healthy eating tastes from a very young age. So they're two really good places I'd go and have a look for information on that.
Listener says, between the schools, clubs and all the after school activities giving sweet treats, it is impossible. The culture of snacking in this country is appalling. Also, the foods available on children's menus and the hot lunches in the schools could too be better. The foods that we're introducing during weaning are also contributing to children leaning towards a sweeter food as well. Another thing is the party bags coming home after the children's parties. They're absolutely filled with nothing but junk. Dietitian Sarah Kyo, Derek Flood, gym manager of Hot Hit Cardio, Moonshore John Sharpson there as well, Aisling owns Nash and Kigo. Thanks a million for joining us. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.